Welcome back, everyone, to Sunday's Leftovers. My name is Paul Klein, and as always, Matt Higginbotham. How are you today, Matt?
I am tremendous, Paul. Every day, just living the dream, doing the best I can with what God's given me. How about you? What's going on with you, Paul?
Things are going great, you know? School stuff's going good, and stuff here is going good. Just lots going on. So, anything special going on in your life?
Still have a newborn baby at the house.
Yeah.
So she's delightful. We're really working to make her put on weight.
Yeah.
She's doing well now, but it's involved like getting up and lots of eating, middle of the night feedings, and so
you gonna wake her up to feed her.
We had a child maybe like stern that. A little bit, but yeah, typically having to get her up and get her moving. So yeah, so that's that. Everything else is going fair enough. Yeah.
So what'd you preach about this week then?
Yeah, I was talking about prayer, right? Because I'm in the middle of that series. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel good about that. Yeah. Yep. So prayer. I was talking about the power of in prayer that comes from abiding in Jesus Christ. So John 15:7 maybe was the verse that I kind of built that off of, where Christ says, you know, if you abide in me and my words will abide in you, or my Father's words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be granted.
Yeah.
It'll be done. And there's this idea of if we're truly walking with Christ, if we're in Christ, we get to watch our prayers be answered because we're connected to the vine and we're bearing the proper fruit from the vine.
Right. And so then, Matt, why aren't my prayers answered then? So why are some prayers unanswered? That's a question we'd like to explore today, because we talk about the conditions necessary for the promise, abiding in Christ and Father's words abiding in you and asking whatever you want. But sometimes things aren't always done. And so we wanted to explore a few things this week about reasons maybe why prayers may seem to go unanswered, or maybe sometimes it's a no and a wait. And so how we kind of tease those out. And I think we wanted to start with, instead of it immediately saying it's a no or a wait, maybe we need to look at ourselves and see if there's some things in our life, in our prayer life, and in our walk that may hinder our prayers as to maybe why they may seem to go unanswered. Does that sound reasonable to you?
Yes.
That's what we're going to do, whether it's reasonable or not. I think it's what we're going to do. So what I wrote down here, like I said, the conditions abiding in Christ and his words abiding in you, if prayer seems to go unanswered, there may be an issue with your walk and abiding in Christ or his words abiding in you. And so we would be wise to consider the former before convincing ourselves of the latter, which is the no wait answer. We're going to start in 1 John chapter 5, 14 through 15. 1 John 5.
14 through what?
15.
And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him.
And so the issue I see here, a part of this verse, is prayer outside of God's will. So if you're praying something outside of God's will it be fulfilled? And the answer is no.
Yeah, no, God's will be done.
Right. And so the solution to that is understanding his will and praying for discernment and wisdom. Any other things to make sure that we're praying in accordance with God's will? Suggested solutions to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's simple and complex, right? The idea of abiding with Jesus. But if you are walking closely with the Lord through personal devotion and seeking the Lord's face, knowing his will, and his will being your will, like where your wills kind of coalesce into like often the same thing, is kind of a beautiful like gift that God gives us as we abide in him. When we don't abide in him, then we ask outside of his will for things that are selfish, right? So we can spend it on our own gain, as the Bible says, right? You ask, you know, with doubt, and you do ask with faith, yes, so you can spend it for yourself to enrich yourself, and that's not good. So.
Yeah, which leads us right into the next one, James chapter 4, 1 through 3. The next issue that can happen is prayer for the wrong motives.
Yeah. So what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. and you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. That's through four?
I had through three, but
that's where I stopped there.
Yeah,
yeah, stopped right great. Where I wanted to. Good.
Yep, perfect. So what's the solution to that? I guess, first of all, recognizing that, but how can one recognize whether their prayer is prime over or not?
I think if you notice that you're constantly demonstrating the works of the flesh as opposed to the fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians, like it's likely that your passions are at war within you.
Yeah.
Also, if what you're requesting is like short-term beneficial to you only, mm-hmm. like if that's just the way you pray, like, Lord, give me this, help me with this, aid me in this, and it's all personal, I pray for myself daily.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not opposed to you praying for yourself, but to pray for your own, like the best things for you and not concerns about God's kingdom and his righteousness and his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Like if those aren't right. the things that are coming out of you, that's a pretty good sign. Like, oh, I'm not battling myself properly. I've yeah. surrendered to the flesh.
And I think sometimes that can be easy when we tell people like we need to pray more. And well, what's the first thing that comes to mind? All the problems that I have, right?
And so
I think it really can come easily. What I wrote down for a suggested solution is if we ask ourselves, if this prayer is answered, who will be glorified? Will it be me or will it be God? How does this prayer getting answered? Does it glorify me or God? And so moving on to the next one, would be James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. These are prayers for wisdom that lack faith. I want to know your thoughts on this one.
But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord.
No, in context, this is he's referring to folks that lack wisdom. You can pray with faith that you'll gain wisdom, right?
It's not just like to all.
It's not just like faith about anything. It's specifically prayers about wisdom. Is that right?
Yes.
Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think God does will to grant us wisdom, but we do. There's a condition in there that, like, if you don't believe that God can do the thing that you're asking to be mm-hmm. done, you shouldn't expect that God to do the thing that's impossible for you.
Yeah.
Right? With God, all things are possible. With man, mm-hmm. you know, it's not. And so sometimes our humanity gets in the way of our prayer life, and we pray and we're like, you know, you have a lost friend or something, and you're like, Lord, I pray for, you know, so-and-so. But even while you're praying that, you're like, man, they are so far gone.
Yeah.
There's no hope for this. I'm really wasting my time right now and the Lord's time by even bringing this person up to them. And likewise, and specifically when it comes to praying for wisdom,
mm-hmm.
You have like this, you have a long, I have a long, I won't speak of you. I have a long history of unwise actions
yes.
that I can draw back on when I'm asking God to grant me wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so literally yesterday, I was asking the Lord for wisdom. Like this was part of my devotional prayer life. But even as I'm praying that, like there is a sense in me that's like, you are an idiot. Like, yeah. like
haven't got it yet, right?
Like you, well, how about you just apply the stuff you know,
yeah.
dummy? Like,
yeah.
like the stuff that you could teach from the pulpit. Why don't you just apply that? And then, like, you don't need some supernatural gifting of wisdom. Just do the thing, right,
yeah.
that you're supposed to do, Matt. And so even in the midst of that sort of, like, self-doubt, and I think that's Satan, honestly, kind of drawing back our failings and our faults
mm-hmm.
To try to, like, you know.
Impede you.
Yeah. Yeah. Every word I was going was, like, neuter and stuff. And I was like, I don't know if that's what I'm going to say. But, like,
but I think
it's just take the power away from us, from connecting with God faithfully.
Yep. And so I have in here, know who you're praying to. Basically, your sermon last, not just this past Sunday, but the Sunday before. Know know who you're praying to.
Yeah, he can do it.
Yeah. So this one, next one is specifically to husbands. It's 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands mistreating their wives and how that hinders prayer. Know your thoughts on it.
Yeah. So it says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered.
So unpack that one for me.
Yeah,
how
I mean,
can
it's...
you connect a husband and prayers being hindered? I mean, obviously it says it it says it, so we know that it's applicable, but how?
Yeah, I mean, we're husbands are called to love and care for their spouses. We're called to lead lovingly, people spirit or family spiritually, directionally towards the Lord. And so, like, if we're not doing those things, you can't expect the Lord. Like, if you're not fulfilling your obligations that the Lord has given you as a spiritual role, like, I place you in this spiritual position for the good of my people that I have entrusted to you, and you're abusing that by not doing it, then yeah, your prayers are hindered because you're actively sabotaging the work of God.
Yeah.
It's not too dissimilar from, like, what James, teachers will be judged more strictly for what they teach. Like, there's this idea of, like, you've been entrusted, you've abused this trust by failing it, and not living with your spouse in a way that's understanding, pointing them towards Christ, making it difficult for them to find Christ outside of you. Like, they're struggling through that. You can't expect to go to the Lord after being like that and God being like, yeah, we're cool. Like, thank you for not doing the thing that I asked you to do.
Right. Like, and we are called as husbands to fulfill a certain portion of the marriage that represents Christ and the church as the bride of Christ. And if we're not fulfilling our part, we're a very poor representation, right? And if I always go back to Ephesians, where we're called to love our wives like Christ loved the church
and give ourselves up.
Yeah. And if we're not doing that, like, we're failing big time, right? And so the solution,
like, and this is a great mystery because I speak of Christ in the church. And
you're right. And so what's our solution to that?
I don't know, like, be loving and directionally point your wife to Jesus.
I have repent and reconcile. So yeah,
like,
yep,
100%. Do the thing that God has given you, hopefully, the joy to do. Like,
next one is in Isaiah, and it is unrepentant and unconfessed sin. Isaiah 59, 1 through 4. This is specific. This verse is specific to God towards Israel's sin, and we'll talk a little bit more about it.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue mutters wickedness. No one enters suit justly. No one goes to law honestly. They rely on empty pleas. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and give birth to iniquity.
All right, Pastor Matt. So help me unpack this here. So as a believer, we know that prior to belief, sin separated us from God, right? And at conversion, that separation is gone. We have full access to God. So, but I'm seeing now how can sin after we become a believer, how can that affect, does it separate us from God again, or help unpack that? How does sin affect our lives and our walk?
Yeah. I mean, I use it in the same way that I'll use kind of like marital disputes sometimes where you talk about a wall being built, and it's not that God hasn't done everything he can to be in a relationship with you or that you're not like his still inside of that. But as you sin and you have this unrepentant sin, you kind of just like pile up this load of stuff and it gets high enough and then it just starts getting wider and wider and wider. And it's a self-imposed separation between you and God. Like, like you are reconstructing the veil in the temple in your life where like the access to God is now hindered, not because God is unable to penetrate, not because God doesn't will or doesn't desire to speak to you. But through your own wicked desires, your own gratifying the flesh, you know, the list here of speaking lies, shedding blood, you know, taking people to court unjustly, like through your abuse of like your righteousness, like not being righteous, your sin nature, like this separation reemerges. It's not an eternal separation. It's not that Christ's sin or his death wasn't sufficient to cover the sins that you're currently adding in there. But there's an idea of daily repentance needed for the believer where we confess our sins, where we fail the Lord, and then that wall is removed. It's why we should be doing daily business with the Lord on this, because if we don't, like, it's where you begin to feel like, yeah, I don't think God hears me anymore. I don't think God sees me anymore. I've known people who've walked pretty far down the sin path as believers. And you know, early on, they feel conviction. Mm-hmm. Oh, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be doing this. But after a while, they've numbed themselves so much, like the voice of God is
far.
They can't hear it at that moment. Not that God couldn't speak through it,
right?
But they're not hearing it like they should, because he's been distanced by them.
Yeah.
The prodigal son walks away. Prodigal son turns his head back. Father meets him, and so like we need to turn back,
constant,
and allow the Father to meet us.
So what I'm kind of hearing you say is that unity with him eternally is secure, salvation is secure, but our daily fellowship and our daily walk with him can be hindered by sin.
And the fruitfulness in your ministry, your life, your joy, like you won't have like the fruit of the Spirit, which like as Christians, those we need to go back to those consistently, because this is what your life should look like if you're walking in the Spirit. If you're not having those, there's something's wrong.
Right.
Like if you're in Christ, if the Holy Spirit dwells within you, but the fruit of the Spirit aren't following, there's something wrong.
Right.
And it's a lot of times it's these sort of things where it's, you know, unrepentant sin, where we just sort of like, you know, it's got me and I can't do anything about it. And you just allow yourself to chase after the sin nature. You got to stop. It's today's the day. Repent, believe.
And when you talk about the fruits of the Spirit, this particular passage in John 15 is about the vine and the branches. And so the root determining the fruit. If our root is in Jesus, our fruit should at some point appear, right?
Yeah. And it should be, and what I said Sunday, it's like the vine like desires to bear fruit, like as branches, I guess is the analogy technically off the vine. But like it should be the most natural thing for us to bear the fruit that God is seeking. Mm. It's just
That's what the vine's for, right? Yeah, it bears fruit.
Yeah, unless we've removed ourselves from the vine,
mm-hmm.
You know, or we've, you know, intentionally cut off like the nourishment that comes from the vine, and that happens through this sort of nonsense.
I have as a solution, once again, repent and reconcile. I also have Isaiah 55, 6 through 7 under the solution portion, so I may have miswrote my notes, but that may have to do with
Let's see what it says here, Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
There you go. That's the solution.
It is a beautiful solution.
It is. Wonderful. The next one I have is similar to the last one, but it's rejecting God's law specifically and how that equates to lack of trust. Proverbs 28, 9.
All right, so Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9 says, if one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination.
So instead of sin separating us from God, us ignoring the word of God hinders our prayers. Is that kind of how I'm seeing that?
Yeah, I mean, if you're rejecting, you know, God's law, right, then which is God's righteous decrees and commands, this seems like willful rejection.
Yeah.
Like, I hear what you say, Lord. That's not true. That's not true for me.
Mm-hmm.
Very like postmodern. Might be true for you.
Yeah.
Might be true for them.
Not my truth.
It's not my truth. So it's not true for me. And that sort of thing will hinder you. Your prayer is an abomination. Like God is disgusted, angered, even to hear your voice in that moment when you say your words aren't good.
But
yeah, your words aren't good enough for me, God. Let me tell you my words.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to hear your words, God. I want you to listen to me.
Well, when you put it like that.
God's like, well, shut up.
Yeah.
I can tell you can humble yourself to hear and receive what God wants to say. God is not, like, he doesn't owe you a hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the God of the universe. Like, the fact that he ever hears us is a miracle.
Yeah. And I have as a solution, again, repent and reconcile, but I have Hebrews 11, 6.
You love us repenting. It seems like there'll be a lot of repentance in my life if I follow what I'm supposed to do.
I feel like that's important.
You know,
regular and daily, I think.
It is, yeah.
I think that's how Hebrews that works.
Chapter what?
That's 11, 6.
11, 6. I was there, and then I went to 6 thinking I was supposed to be there. 11, 6. Here it goes. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him.
The Proverbs portion talking about not following his law and lacking faith, and how in order to seek God, we have to believe that he exists. And so it's important to have faith. So that's all of the scriptures I have for today about different things as far as abiding in Christ and abiding in his word.
Oh.
I have in here a note about seeking the counsel of other Christians. So obviously, it is helpful to not just do this on your own, and you don't have to do this on your own. Be Holy Spirit empowered, but also other Christians can help you walk through, hey, why does this prayer seem
like Christ gave you a church?
Yeah, exactly. The next section I want to talk about, though, is what if somebody truly is abiding in Christ, and they're abiding in his words are abiding in them, and seemingly are doing everything right, but the prayer still seems to go unanswered. Is there sometimes a no and a wait?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's absolutely true that there are times when the answer is not right now, or that's not my will.
Yeah.
So I'll give just, I was youth minister at a church years ago, had a really rough time at it. And I remember just like crying out to the Lord, like, Lord, let me leave.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just always like a sense in my heart, like I don't hear an audible voice from God, or I haven't. But it was just a very clear like leading from the Spirit. It's like, no, like that's not what you're going to do. And so like, I just had to wait.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not there now by the grace of God, but God, like I can tell, like if I tell the whole story of everything that took place in there, like God moved me to that church for a very specific reason,
mm-hmm.
Placed me there to get through some stuff that was super heavy that I couldn't have handled in most other church, settings that I've been in. And so, like, God used that place that I wanted to get out of, right, for a reason. And so the wait was like, I can identify some of the why for the wait now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when I was in it, like, I'm sitting on the bathroom floor crying out to the Lord, like, just let me go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy doesn't like me. I don't like this. Just let me go. Free me up to leave. And it's like, no, wait.
Yeah.
And then, like, in, you know, a day, all of a sudden, it was like, this is why you're here.
Funny how
six months later.
Funny how that works.
6 months later, that whole, like, chaos is sort of resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Leave.
Yeah.
Like, they told me leave.
Perfect.
And I was like, oh. Like, I sort of didn't see it then. But it was like years later, I was able to look back and be like, oh, yeah. Like, it wasn't that I was outside of where God wanted me to be. I was exactly where God wanted me to be.
Right.
I just didn't enjoy the path.
Right.
Because, you know, metal doesn't like being tested by the flame.
Right.
I didn't enjoy it.
Well, I mean,
it was for my good.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I did say there was no more scripture. There is, actually. Paul is a great example of this in the New Testament. So do you mind going to 2 Corinthians for two more verses?
Yeah, that's fine. I was just reading a text from my life. All right, where am I at? 2 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians 12, 6 through 10.
Gotta reopen Paul my whole Bible here.
Yep, do it.
Oh my goodness.
You have another one after this, too.
What?
I know.
2 Corinthians 12, what?
6 through 10.
6 through 10. You're not even doing one verse, you're doing whole passages, this mm-hmm. guy.
Yep.
All right. Though, if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one will think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I'm weak, then I am strong.
Comments on that?
I mean, like, yeah, it's pretty awesome that
it is.
Paul can have that perspective, like this
thorn in the
right?
flesh,
right? But he sees, like, in his weakness, like, God's power is perfected there, right?
Yeah. And the last one I have is, and the reason is because Forrest Frank was right that God's way is better.
Oh, so we're just
referencing Isaiah 55, 8 through 9.
Isaiah
it's 55. Very easy to say, but hard to live out sometimes. But
for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, So are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts?
And I mean, that can be really hard to hear when you're in that moment though, right?
Yeah. It's tough to convince ourselves sometimes that we don't know what's best for us.
Yeah.
It is. But God is good and gracious. He desires to hear your prayers. If you're walking with him, just call out with confidence.
Yeah.
It's like, he will answer. It's good news.
That's all I got.
Well, let me pray. Lord, we love you, and I thank you for Paul. I thank you for the opportunity we've had to sit and study your word. Lord, I pray that we would have confidence to approach your throne of grace. Let us do so with clean hands and pure hearts, Lord, so that our prayers won't be hindered. We love you. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the church that you allow us to serve and prepare as a radiant bride for your arrival. We ask these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Peace.